The views and opinions expressed by the guests, callers, and hosts on this and all Rents Radio Network programs do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the network, its commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. In these controversial times, we believe the First Amendment and freedom of the press are absolutely essential to the survival of our nation. Thank you. And now, enjoy the program.
The 15th of May, already halfway through the month. Hard to believe. Rise of the machines. Our future has lots of robots, but not very many jobs. Trump keeps talking about jobs, jobs, jobs. Workplace. But what will the workplace really look like? Who's going to be in there to take a coffee break? Anybody? This is going to be very interesting to see. And all of this is going to happen rather quietly at first, and then there'll be, I think, an avalanche of robotic renovation, shall we say, of jobs, businesses, corporations. It's going to be remarkable. Tex Mars is with us this first hour tonight. Tex is going to talk about robotics and where it's all going. And where it's all going is going to turn a lot of people, 95 million, out of the job market right now, not working. No chance of really getting a job either. Maybe that figure will remain permanent and only increase. Tex, welcome back. How are you?
Hey, Jeff. It's great to be back with you. I'm very fine. Thank you.
Good. Glad to hear it. And I assume you have your robot standing by there to serve you somewhere? We're going to have our own household robots at some point, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, I do have a few little, they're small ones, but, you know, size doesn't necessarily matter. But I do have a couple of small ones. They can't do much now, but they are manufacturing some incredible machines now. And I believe that everybody listening to us, Jeff, they're gonna be amazed. They're going to be shocked. In fact, I think all of us are. We are about 10 years away.
We're not ready for this either, Tex. Yeah.
No, we're not. No one is talking about it. And that's why I've been trying to start an international campaign. Let me just say that in 1986 and 87, I began to think of this. I left the Air Force in 1982.
Uh-huh.
And I founded a company called Technology Trends, Tech Trends. A lot of people don't realize that I'm really a high-techer from way back.
You could have called it Tech Trends, too, you know.
Tech Trends, there you go. So Technology Trends was a very interesting company because I did books like I was the author of some very intriguing books like High Technology Careers. Mm-hmm. I did a book called High Tech Job Finder.
Wow.
Did a book called The Great Robot Book. Finally, I did a book that was really the main selection of both the Electronic Book Club and the Computer Book Club. It was the first book ever in the world to look at personal robots. Personal, in fact, it was called The Personal Robot Book. And among robot people today, roboticists and so forth, it's considered the classic book. And it looked at every personal robot book that was in the world, practically. That was in 1987. And I sort of, you know, I got involved in other things and began to look at the New Age movement and the global conspiracy and all those things.
That's three decades ago, Tex. How did you sense this robotic revolution?
Well, I could see it coming, and I saw the fascination with robots. And, of course, you know, they seem to be just clunky mechanical objects of little value, moving awkwardly, unable really to compete with mankind. Of course, we began to have, even at that time, the great arm robots. You know, they're brought into the automobile plants. You know, General Motors, Ford, and so and Mercedes, and so on. And they had great abilities to paint, to put on bolts and things such as that. But they really had, you know, just one or two little functions, and that's all. But as the United States would have it, just as we had the internet just developing at that time, robotics was developing also. In fact, the term robotics was a new term at that time. People didn't even know what it meant. So when I sent off to publishers suggesting a book called The Personal Robot Book, nobody in New York City, where you know publishing is mainly, nobody even knew what robotics was. And so I finally got a major publisher, finally McGraw-Hill published it. And they did very well with it, of course, being, you know, book club selection and so forth. And because people saw it and were sort of, you know, intrigued about it. But I could see that it was going to be a major, major problem. And now, you know, a couple of years ago, Jeff, I circled my wagons back. I said, you know what? They have now developed the ability. It is so incredible. They're nearing I want to state something to your audience. It will shock you. People say Tex Mars, he's a wary ward. He's just saying these things.
He's a shock jock, right?
Yeah, I'm a shock jock. But I have written a new book called Robot Alchemy. The subtitle is Androids, Cyborgs, and the Magic of Artificial Life. Robot Alchemy. In which
great title.
State, I believe, the extinction of human life is at hand. In other words, will robots take over the world? Yes, they will. Will robots become superior to humanity? Yes, they will. Will robots take our jobs first? Yes, they will. Will robots become sex and love partners? Yes, they will. And will robots decide finally to kill all of human beings and become the masters of this planet and the universe? Yes, they will. And I believe mankind is finished. I believe mankind is absolutely finished. It is probably God's will that this happen. Now we look at it and say, that can't be. We're the supreme powers.
We're the sentient species. We're the caretakers. We're the dominant species. No.
That's right.
No.
I'm seeing now with robotics, and this book has several hundred color photographs. It's really a unique book.
Well, your books are always wonderful. May I ask one question? Tex, this is important. When you wrote your first books on robotics 30 years ago plus, were you thinking at that time of AI? Did you understand where we were going? It wasn't just that we could make something that would do a job for us physically, repetitively, over and over again. AI was the other half of this enormous end times creation of replacement beings, which is what this is. AI, were you onto that back then too? Did you know where that was going?
Oh, yes, I did. I did, in fact. I did a book. I did the very first book also. I did a book called... Careers with Robots. And it was by Facts on File Publications. And I got a lot of letters from computer scientists and robotics experts who said, Tex, this is the first book ever to talk about the fact that people will soon be working with robots. They'll be making robots, creating robots of all kinds, robot farmers, robot doctors, robot lawyers. They don't know that, but your book talks about what jobs are available now.
Mm-hmm.
And so I looked at the job area,
mm-hmm.
and there were many jobs even then available in artificial intelligence and so forth. You're right, Jeff. Artificial intelligence is not what the robot looks like necessarily, although, as you can see from this book, the robots I picture here look startlingly just like human beings, many
uh-huh.
of them.
Uh-huh.
But they come in all shapes, configurations. There's robots that go in nuclear plants where mankind cannot go. In fact, there's robots that, you know, go in Japan in that nuclear plant. There's robots that go under the ocean. And, of course, we know about the police robots that go.
Yeah.
One of them recently here in, I think it was Austin, Texas. A guy went in a building and was shooting at people.
Yeah.
And they use a robot to go in and, you know, blast them away.
Yeah.
And that's sort of unusual. So robots can go in and kill a suspect, and the police don't dare go in because they're going to be shot.
Here's something else. This is important, I think, and this may be something you've already pondered at great length. What is the expression that God created man and woman in his own image? And here we are replicating a godlike creation. We're doing something similar. We're creating something in our own image, in that it can do what we do, think like we think, and ultimately outthink us. This is crazy.
It really is. You know, I used to hear, well, man can't develop, human life, real life. Now we have bionics, of course. We have biology, DNA, and they're making amazing revolutionary developments in that. And I think also in the next decade, we're going to see very frightening changes. I just read that the Anti-Defamation League, you know, the Jews, the Jewish group, Abraham Fox states that it may be possible, and there are Jewish scientists working in DNA who claim that they're going to be able to, at birth, everyone's DNA will be, configured. They
mm-hmm.
can make you be like they want to,
mm-hmm.
And they will give you a DNA in which you love Jews.
And that
whatever
doesn't have to happen.
You will still love them,
yeah.
because your brain forces you to love them.
That's right.
You won't
That's
even
right.
think of it as a
that
you know,
that genetic manipulation text can start and be installed in people certainly after birth. But I would suggest and submit that at any stage in life, they can insert synthetic DNA into us now and recreate us at any time.
They can splice it in. That's right. That is a fact. So that you can have an entire encyclopedia, you know, spliced into your brain. Suddenly, you're brilliant. You know, before you may have had an IQ of, let's say, 85 or 90. Now, suddenly, you have one of 180 or 200. This is a reality now. We're at that stage now. We're going to see this splicing. But I think it's terrible because, remember, Big Brother will be able to invent, let's just say, human beings from the cradle that will think the right way. What is the right way? Well, look what the Democrat Party
yeah.
is thinking today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they're conjuring up all kind of nonsense, and they're absolutely insane. Well, hey, they can make everybody think that away with DNA manipulation at birth. So you come out of the hospital thinking just like Rosie O'Donnell or Madonna. You're absolutely insane, but you don't think so. You think you're perfect because you've got the right DNA. They put it in you. So believe me, this is going to be very, very possible.
It's you know, Tex, it's doable now. I covered this before, and you know how they're doing it? They're taking viruses and putting, it's like a piggyback operation. They're calling it vaccines now, but they're putting attenuated viruses in people with synthetic DNA. The viruses enter the cell and deposit the synthetic DNA into the cell, and it's picked up on the chromosomes and becomes a part of the cells. And as the cells replicate throughout the body, the whole being changes. They're doing that now. They're using viruses to deliver the synthetic DNA to retool and reprogram and rewire people from the genes on up. They're already doing it. I don't know if I
people
sent you that.
Understand.
Yeah, I'll send you that.
Our government has been spending an incredible amount of money, since the 70s and 80s. DARPA, the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, they've been working on these things nonstop.
Yes.
And so, you know, I believe this is where the military is going. And we won't even, the military, we won't even recognize it, you know, what we have today, you know, tanks and aircraft and all this. It's going to be totally outmoded as these brain works that you just mentioned get put in. Even weather war, of course. They believe they will own the weather. Now, there are many countries working on this. The United States, though, is so far ahead of them. We have spent so many billions of dollars, and there's no doubt that we have thousands of scientists employed in laboratories across the United States and the world working on this. Now, here's what I want to inform people. We get all aroused, and we should, about immigration, about these people coming in from all over the world now, the HB1 virus, the visas, and so forth, and the wall, we need to build it and all that. But I believe within 5 years, there will be very little of an immigration problem. I think it's going to solve itself. And it's going to solve itself because they will not need all these people. These people will not have jobs. Americans will not have jobs. And I think if you've seen the Rust Belt, you already know how bad it is in many areas. But I think everything is going to become a Rust Belt. You know, in China. China has over 1 billion human beings. 1 billion. Now, they have been building cities across China, incredible new cities. And they've got gleaming skyscrapers and such across China. Now, the largest company in China is Foxconn. Foxconn has over 450,000 employees. 450,000. They've got one building there that is a mile long and about half a mile wide, and it's got, you know, 200,000 employees in it by itself.
Wow.
Now, what does Foxconn do? They make almost every TV in the world. They make all kind of chips, and they make most of the smartphones in the United States. All of the iPhones, 98% of them are made in China. So China makes these things for everybody throughout the world. We just don't realize how much China does do in the manufacturing. And this is one of the reasons why, you know, Trump is, you know, clamoring for give us back our jobs.
Uh-huh.
Now, the president of Foxconn was angered a couple of years ago, Jeff. He got angry at his own workers. You see, they're making about $2 a day. Now, think about it. They worry that means maybe $50 or $60 a month.
Right.
And they live in these, they're just like prisons. They've got little bitty units with a little bitty TV. They work 6 or 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. They're just like drones.
Hamsters.
Yeah, that's right. You can call them hives, you know, hamsters.
Hamster hives, yeah.
And they're very unhappy over their fate. And so many of them have been killing themselves.
Jumping off the building, yep.
Jumping off the building. So the management said, we've got to, this is bad for business because you know, Westerners may, you know, photographers may be seeing these people, maybe in the Western newspapers. So what they did was they put a net all around the bottom of the building. Now think about that. You go to work in this gigantic building. You work there six or seven days a week, 12 yeah. hours a day, and they have to put a net down at the bottom of it so that you won't jump off and kill yourself. Okay, so but that doesn't solve the problem because people still kill themselves. You know, they're going to do it with whatever way they can find inside the building. So, Mr. Zhou, that's G-H-O-U, the president of Foxconn, got angry. He said, we're going to start robotizing the workforce. We're going to bring in robots. I mean, hey, robots can make iPhones a lot better than people can. And robots don't ask for more pay. They don't ask for benefits. They'll work 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. You know, you pay for them once and you're finished. That's it. They may need a little bit of maintenance and repair, but, you know, you go on forever with these things. So he said, I'm going to replace you. He told the workers that. And he began to replace them. And in the last 3 years, they now have 100,000 workers that have been replaced by robots.
Wow.
One robot can replace up to 10 workers.
And not one robot has jumped off the roof yet. Uh-huh.
Even in China, where they have these hundreds of thousands of people, they have no jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They're replacing them with robots. And Mr. Zhu is very happy about it. He says, I want to go to where we're 90-95% manned by robots.
Pretty interesting.
All these people that are bothering me.
Pretty interesting name there. What a coincidence.
Yeah, I don't know about his heritage. I'm not sure about that. But isn't that incredible? I mean, in China.
That's astonishing, Tex. Wow.
Now, in Japan, they have a huge factory in Fanuc, Japan, F-A-N-U-C, where robots make other robots. All right, so you don't, you know, you say, well, that's going to employ a lot of people because the robots, you have to make them, don't you? That's true. But now they're making other robots. Robots make robots.
Self-replicating.
So now, in that factory at night, they have just a couple of workers and over 1,000 robots in that factory in Fanuc, Japan, that are making robots all the time, cranking out new robots.
Wow.
So this is a reality, and people, they think, well, it's sort of fun. They see it on TV, some robot in some restaurant serving people or maybe working at a Jack in the Box or a McDonald's. They say, oh, isn't that funny? Isn't that interesting? But wait just a minute. When that McDonald's restaurant only has one or two people and the rest of everything is robots, and you don't even see a robot, and you get your hamburgers, and you go. That's going to be a shocker. So all of these Mexican-Americans or Mexicans throughout the Southwest, probably all throughout the United States, that are fast food workers, they're not going to be needed anymore.
No.
Go back to Mexico.
Right.
We're going to have robots do your job. Out in the fields, they say we need to bring in all these seasonal workers from Mexico.
Uh-huh.
We must have these guest workers.
Oh, yeah.
That's the cry from the employers.
Yeah.
Hey, guess what? Their job's going to be done by robots. And they'll know what to pick, which of the corn, you know, shoots or whatever they're the...
Oh, they got machines that can pick strawberries now and not damage them. I've seen them. They're incredible.
Yeah, and they can tell which ones are right and which
That's
ones
right.
aren't.
That's right. What's it, Ned? Tex, give us the title of your book again.
It's Robot Alchemy, Android Cyborgs, and the Magic of Artificial Life.
Android Cyborgs and the Magic of Artificial Life. All right. Hold on just a minute. We have to pause. But as we pause, let me just read this one paragraph to underscore what Tex just said. The robots haven't just landed in the workplace. They're expanding skills, moving up the corporate ladder, showing awesome productivity and retention rates, and increasingly shoving aside their human counterparts. One multitasking robot from Momentum Machines can make and flip a gourmet hamburger in 10 seconds, and could soon replace an entire McDonald's crew. My manufacturing device from Universal Robots doesn't just solder, paint, screw, glue, and grasp. It builds new parts for itself on the fly when they wear out or bust. And just this week, Google won a patent to start building worker robots with personalities. We'll be right back. Okay, welcome back. Tex said something phenomenal. Well, he always does, but especially so in the last hour when we were talking about introducing synthetic DNA at random and without our consent into the human body and changing it permanently, forever, by reworking, reformatting, and reconfiguring the DNA on your chromosomes. Easily done. As Tex said, you could be given the DNA to love a certain religious group or whatever, or to voluntarily double paying your taxes. I mean, just think of the possibilities. It's crazy. Now, it's not just viruses, as I mentioned, that are able to introduce into the cell synthetic DNA, which becomes part of your body, but there are other non-biological ways of doing it. Let me read this little bit here. Because this does go along with robotics. They're going to have to do something to make people happy with the status quo of just laying around and getting fat and doing nothing, or jumping off buildings, whichever. The ability to safely and efficiently transfer synthetic DNA into cells of the human body is a fundamental goal in biotechnology. Toward this end, rapid advances have recently been made in our understanding of mechanisms for DNA stability and transport within the cells. Current synthetic DNA delivery, those systems, are versatile and safe, but substantially less efficient so far than viral delivery. As I said, a virus, think of a pandemic with viruses, and they're all designed to deliver a DNA change. Easily done. You can infect a whole nation, a world population, change the world. That's the doorstep we're standing on. Indeed, most current systems address only one of the obstacles to DNA delivery by enhancing DNA uptake into the body. In fact, the effectiveness of gene expression is also dependent on several additional factors, including the release of intracellular DNA, stability of DNA in the cytoplasm, unpackaging of the DNA, vector complex and the targeting of DNA to the nucleus, and more. Anyway, this is where we are. Ladies and gentlemen, we are standing on the door to the final abyss. This is where we are, and this is what Tex's new book is going to help us understand. Wow. Go right ahead, my friend.
Well, Jeff, you pretty well stated it there. We're standing on the edge of the abyss. And, you know, when we look at, for example, the black areas of the United States, you know, Donald Trump told the blacks of America, I'll do something for you. I'll give you jobs. We've seen what's happened in Chicago, in Baltimore, murders, these are horrible things, gangs and so forth. But what if there are no jobs? And these people right now, they're on welfare, they're taking drugs.
Tex, look at Europe, look at the gang.
Like, some kind of a hell.
Gang rapes in Europe, unemployed, people not working, what do? They turn on their own humankind. That's what you're talking
absolutely.
About.
Germany has found that less than 2% of the migrants there want to work. They say, why should we work? The German government will give us everything we need. And so they live in these ghettos, and meanwhile, they refuse to work. They give them jobs, and they won't take the jobs.
Correct.
Think about that. Over 98% of the men that are able to work say, we don't want to work. We don't have to. The German government will take care of us. And I think that's what's happening in America, too, with many of the migrants. But I believe it's going to, listen, we will not be able to give these people jobs. We will not be able to integrate them or have them assimilate. But here's what I want people to understand, that what happens when a whole factory, a whole town, a whole city loses jobs for everyone? Then they've got problems. You know, a lot of people value themselves and their lives on what they're able to accomplish, what kind of job they're able to do. And if you send them at home, and the thing is, we don't have enough money, do we? We couldn't possibly give everybody in America welfare of that kind, because, you know, the people get on welfare and they start looking at others saying, well, he's got more than I do, or she's got more. And then that causes rivalries and anger and so forth. But let me say something here that people may not think about. You know, I've also been studying just sort of, I did this book. This book's been out a couple of years. And I wanted to catch on because, boy, it's more important than the other books, I'll tell you. But here's the thing. I've been studying psychopaths. I've been looking at them and saying, what is a psychopath? What are psychopaths? How are they different than other human beings? Can they be rehabilitated, redeemed? My conclusion is that probably around 5% of all people in the world are psychopaths. Now, scientists say that probably they've been psychopaths from birth, most of them. So you have a nice Christian family, let's say, and you have, let's say, two sons. One of them is a psychopath because of his brain, the network of his brain, and the other is perfectly normal. And the first one, from the time he's a little boy, he does terrible things. And maybe terrible things you don't even know about. Maybe he kills pets. Maybe all the neighborhood pets, he just takes them out and tortures them out in the country. And he steals money from mom and dad's billfolds and purses. He taunts and torments the little kids at school. And he does horrible things on the internet and just terrible things. There's something wrong with a kid like that, but the other kid is fine. That's psychopath. There are at least 5% of all Americans, 1 out of 20, that are psychopaths. Now, a psychopath is not necessarily a serial killer. He may decide to be a con man. He may be an evangelist. He's one of the guys out there saying, send me money and God will make you rich. And he has 3 or 4 jets and a $10 million mansion and so forth. He's an evangelist telling you, I want you to go see Jesus. He's a con man. He's a psychopath. He could be the president of the United States. He could be a general. These people can be very clever and devious, but they do have, you know, let's just say, to put it in vernacular, a screw loose, okay? Mm. And they're very devious and cunning. And our prisons are full of these people, but it may be that they gravitate to certain areas, maybe to the military, maybe as doctors. A lot of people tell me about very cruel doctors that don't have a warmth capacity, doctors that don't know how to, you know, just say, hold your hand when they tell you you have cancer,
right,
or something.
Right.
It could be that some doctors are killing people, and they get some kind of a sinister joy out of seeing people hurt. I believe that there are people like this, and the robots are going to be psychopathic.
Oh.
This is the conclusion that I'm going to put the two together.
Wow.
I've been writing a book about psychopathy, and I stopped writing it because I got so alarmed, Jeff. I had to. I sat up one night and I started crying. And I thought, you know, as a nation grows, you see, psychopaths they will help each other. And if you get one psychopath in a high position, he brings in other psychopaths. I believe that's with the Democrat Party right now, and some Republicans as well. So, you know, but people are just discovering this, that this is possible. There's a book called Ponerology about,
yes,
how this was with communism.
Yes.
Lenin and Stalin, and those people were all psychopaths. And what happened in Russia? They killed 66 million Russians. 66 million. They brought everyone under tyranny. These people are very clever, though. People thought they were going to receive freedom to the people. I believe these robots will become superior to us. And everybody will say, this is great. Now they can do our jobs for us. They'll do our thinking for us. They'll make all the decisions. So we'll sit back and hope that the government has enough money, hope that the corporations make enough money. And by the way, what do corporations want? They don't want to help people. They want money. They want to make more money. That's the capitalist way. I believe they're going to develop these robots that will make them more money. And robots that make you more money don't have feelings, Jeff. They don't. They're cold. They detect
they're psychopaths.
They're a robot. Basically, when singularity is the point mm-hmm. in history when robots become smarter than human beings. Now, what happens then when we have all these robots that are smarter than human beings? I mean, they can be.
They also have no conscience. They have no sense of boundary, no sense of responsibility, no morals, if that's how they're built.
That's right. The main, you and I know, and we've discussed it before, that psychopaths are different. Psychopaths are virtually another species.
Yes.
I want people to think about this.
Yes.
They are not like you and me. They don't think like we do. They're really another species.
There's no accountability.
Like human beings.
They're always doing things.
Like the reptile people, you know, Mr. Ike over in England. He says the king and queen over there are reptiles, really.
They're out for themselves, Tex, 100%. That's all they do is look to make things for themselves. They have no boundaries, no morality.
No morality. That's it. They have no soul. I call it the soul eaters.
Yeah.
I was going to title my book, The Soul Eaters. And when you get involved with a psychopath, you're involved with a bad person. And don't think you're going to win either. The best thing you can do is to get away from them. Just stay away from them. I mean, okay, so they conned you out of some money, or they cheated you out of love. You know, they pretended to love you, but then they didn't. They were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
So you think, well, I want to get back at them. Oh no, no, no! You can't get back at a psychopath because you see, you want to hurt them the way they hurt you, but you cannot hurt them. They don't have emotions. You know, this is the way you take a jury trial. And let's say a psychopath has killed several people and he's just been convicted of, you know, three serial killings. So they put after he's been convicted for the prison sentence, they put the families, you know, on the stand, the family members, and then they read these statements and talk about, you know, you killed my brother and, you know, he was the only brother I had. And, you know, it's sort of a sad situation. So you and I are sitting in the jury's seats, or we're sitting out in the audience, and we're just crying our eyes out thinking about how horrible this is, how sad this surviving family member must feel. And you think that the killer is sitting there feeling remorse. No, no. He doesn't feel. You're wasting your time. He doesn't feel any remorse at all. He's getting his jollies from listening to you crying and moaning about killing his brother or his father or his mother or something. He's thinking, this is fantastic. I'm reliving the wonderful thing that I did, the killing that I did. I love this. You think that's why they don't seem to have any remorse. They don't have any conscience. And I believe that these same feelings, we cannot build a conscience. We cannot build emotions in the robots. Now, we can make them where they will tell you good morning. They will look like, oh, they're so happy. You know, may I help you? Have you had a bad day? I mean, you can make them the sound
they don't care.
Like they're emotional.
They don't care. It's all
they're
an
robots.
Act. It's psychopaths.
They don't care.
Robots,
like they do.
Techs, robots, AI, and psychopathy equals the end of the human race as we knew it.
It does. So we're going to have to figure out what to do because we can't stop these scientists. I mean, the government wants to bring these in. You know, let me just tell you a little story. This is the truth. You know, when I started writing my books on robots, I met a lot of roboticists. And these guys were sort of different than me. They were really, they were deep into robots, you know. That's all they thought about. They were here in Austin at these high-tech companies and such. One of them, let's just call him Bob. He was a nice guy, and he had written several books on robots, very technical books, you know, stuff that most people wouldn't even understand about how robots work and the computer systems and artificial intelligence and so forth. But one day I called him, and we were chatting a little bit, and he says, Tex, I'm going to be pretty well unavailable for a few years, and you may not be able to talk with me. I said, what? What's going on? He says, well, there's some things that are happening that I really can't tell you about. He said, oh, well, let me just say this, he said. I've been hired by an agency of the government, and I'm moving to Virginia. And I immediately thought, you know, of the CIA.
Sure, intelligence.
In Langley, yeah. Virginia, or somebody like that. And because I've been reading, you know, about the CIA and other agencies, DARPA and so forth, developing robots. So I said, are they hiring you as a scientist? He said, yes, as an engineer, actually. He says, a robotics engineer. I says, well, what are you going to do there? He says, well, boy, I'm not supposed to tell you this, but let me just say this much. He says, imagine a robot so tiny you can't see it. As tiny, he said, as a microbe, as, you know, a bacteria cell. I said, yeah. He says, now I'm going to work with people that know about the biological aspects. He says, but imagine we're making, what if we could make robots that are so tiny they can be injected into the human body like a vaccine? I said, yeah. And he said, what if they go in the body and they go throughout the bloodstream and at any point we can control them? We control them on the outside. We have this, you know, a telescreen, we have the computers, everything. We're controlling the robots inside the human being. But the robots are so tiny you don't think of them as robots. I said, okay. He says, what if we wanted to, for example, kill that person? What if we wanted to explode his body? What if we wanted to stop his heart, his brain? And we ordered the robot to immediately go to his heart and stop it, just like a blood clot. He says, I can't tell you anymore, but he said, I'm working on very small robots. I'll put it that way. And he sort of had a little nervous laugh.
These are nanotechnology.
I never could get in touch with him again. He was working there in the laboratory. That was 31 years ago, Jeff.
Yeah, it's nanotech.
On these kinds of things. And yeah. Then you mentioned the vaccines. 31 years ago, they hired this guy. Now, he's a guy who, he works with the clunky kind of robots.
Uh-huh.
But he said, I'm going to be working with doctors, medical doctors and others who know of the biological aspects. And we're going to put the two together. Robots are going to be so tiny, they'll be inside the human body. And I thought about that. And you know, I believe they're there. And they're listen, these people are experimenting. And I believe right now there are many, many people that are prisoners. Literally, they've been taken prisoner, and they're in hospitals, and they're being treated terribly. And I believe these experiments are going on right now today.
They're called targeted individuals. You're 100% right. They're either in hospitals or they're living in hell because of what's being done to them.
Exactly. I believe that's happening right now. I'm convinced it is. So Over the years, you know, I've had many people tell me, well, I've got the chip. Please help me find a doctor that can take out this chip. And the most of them, I thought, oh, you're just sort of crazy. You're sort of wacko. But there have been just a few that I thought, I believe, and some of these guys have shown me, you know, their x-rays or something where they did have something in the brain. So I believe it's possible, and it's but people need to know this, that we're at the stage of singularity with robots, and things are never. I don't think people will even we couldn't recognize the iPhones. I was shocked when I saw the first iPhone. How you could make the picture and make it be like a book, and it was an incredible thing to me. But you know, the kids now, they just take it as a natural thing. Everybody has an iPhone, and I'm using that. There's Androids and iPhones and many different brands and types, of course. By the way, I believe when these DNA, they're called neural implants, you know, when these neural implants get really going and people go down to the hospital and get them put in, and a lot of people are going to volunteer to want these things, it's going to make them smarter and so forth. And hey, why sit in a classroom for 4, 5, 6 years? Wouldn't you just go down and get a neural implant? And in 30 minutes, you're already smarter. I believe that will happen. But these people that have these neural implants will think differently than you and I do.
Uh-huh.
And the rest of us will be like ignorant, just as morons. I mean, even now, I'll be honest with you. A lot of kids are swifter than me on in the computer area.
If you can go down,
they go to town.
You can go down to the nearest Walmart and select the kind of implant you'd want. Most people would probably select an implant to allow them to make lots of money and to be very intelligent. Then we'd have a world full of greed. And then they'd have to develop DNA to take the hostility away from people and make them compliant. Or they would just kill each other all day and all night.
That's right. That's the way people are. And you remember these psychopaths are out there.
Oh, yeah.
And they'd kill for these kinds of implants.
Yes, they would.
So, and, you know, there's not enough money for everyone to have everything they want.
Wow.
And when they see the possibilities, they can get very angry. I mean, today, Black Lives Matter thinks that, you know, they'll have much more money than they have.
Well, how about the war on white people, Tex? We're supposed to all die. That's what they want.
Well, you have white privilege, Jeff.
That's right. I forgot. Yeah.
Privilege.
Yeah. Don't forget about South Africa, ladies and gentlemen. The whites down there have been told they will all be dead or they will have left South Africa within the next 5 years. We need to bring those people over here, every one of them who wants to come. They're real refugees. Tex, I'm really grateful for this information. It's stunning. We will do our best to promote the book. Let's follow this up in our next visit, or maybe sooner if you'd like, maybe next Monday. Come back
right.
If you've got time, and we'll do another hour on this because it's that important. Think of the possibilities. They are endless, easy, and astonishing. Wow. Thank you, Tex.
And people's lives are going to be changed, and they'll be shocked.
Oh, yes, and they will have no choice about it at all. None. It'll just be done to them.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get together here soon. I'll be back in touch with you. Thank you, Tex.
Well, thank you very much, Jeff. God bless
you. Wow.
Bye-bye.
Good night. Amazing. It's all here. Everything he talked about is already here. It's not, well, maybe someday we might. It's, we already have, and it's on the shelf. Back in a minute. Hang on.